It's the Friday before Memorial Day, and we're airing some of our biggest grievances on the Minnesota Twins through the first 50 games of the season. This is Locked On Twins.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hey, what do you say? Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. It's the Friday before Memorial Day, and thanks for hanging out with us. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on YouTube. And of course, we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your humble host, Brandon Warren. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Warren, which you can see on the screen if you are watching on YouTube. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, you can see got a little new format going on, so it kind of looks a little more nifty, if you ask me, but that's just my opinion. We tried it out for Thursday's episode with the Zoobs breaking down the, actually previewing would be a better word, the upcoming Blue Jays series, which starts Friday evening, but it was a little bit off. So anyway, I think we've got it figured out here. As a reminder, please feel free to be active in the comments on YouTube, 5-star reviews, wherever you get your podcast from. We would love to hear from you in some form or fashion. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, you can tell me. Also, too, if you want questions answered on the show, this episode is going to be full of them because the show with the Zoobs had none of them. So I figured I kind of owed it to you guys to make it up to you with a bunch of them. Send them to me on Twitter at Brandon_Warren, at Locked On Twins. DMs are wide open. You can also email them, Facebook them, whatever you have access to, MySpace, we'll take it. And to check out Locked On Twins' Breathless Postgame Minute as soon as possible after each game. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. Your Twins open a series with the Blue Jays on Friday evening, 7:10 p.m. at Target Field. It's Louis Varland, the hometown boy, against Kevin Gausman. Should be a good one. Catch every pitch of the Twins' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Just make sure that you search for Twins. So I put out the bat signal to find out what your gripes were with the Twins through 50 games. Unsurprisingly, you guys came up with quite a bit. And I will just kind of roll over them here. We'll mix in some ads and we'll get you out of here in time for your Memorial Day weekend. So, first of all, Andrew Garrison says, rest in peace to your replies. It's a great rotation, a middling bullpen, and an underperforming lineup. The lineup will improve or the pitching will collapse, or the lineup and pitching will collapse. The joys of a 162-game season. They need bullpen help badly. That's the one glaring flaw. Well, Mr. Garrison, let's take a look at Fangraphs. See what they say about this Twins bullpen. Because I agree that the bullpen isn't as good as it needs to be right now. But I'm not sure I would call it a glaring weakness. The bullpen has been good for 1.7 Fangraphs WAR, which is 12th in MLB. Good, not great. Big issue I'm seeing here, walks, 4th in MLB. Strikeouts, their strikeout rate is 8th. Their home run rate is near the bottom, 5th lowest, right behind the Angels at 4th lowest. Beyond that, inducing grounders was another thing they've been fairly good at, 45.1%, which is 9th. The big thing is I think that they have kind of had some dust-ups in big spots. You look at win probability added. As far as net win probability, the Twins bullpen is 18th, minus 0.04, which means right about average, but it is a fairly high minus win probability added and a fairly high plus, both about 14 in each direction, which gets you to zero. Math is fun. And I think that we've seen just the duality of man and it is that the Twins bullpen is either very, very good or very, very bad. And it seems as though there's not much in between. From a depth chart standpoint, I don't think I disagree that the Twins have to address the rest of the bullpen. I'd say one more guy would be nice. But now with that said, is that one more guy Caleb Thielbar, or are we talking about one more guy beyond that? Roster Resource, again, our friends over at Roster Resource, have the Twins 10th in reliever ERA, 16th in whip, 27th in walks per nine, which we touched on, 8th in strikeouts, 7th in hits, and 5th in home runs per nine. To me, that's a slightly better than average bullpen. And I think, too, maybe fans are a little bit unfamiliar with how bullpens in today's game kind of operate, because the Twins, when they're right, roll four deep with guys they trust: Duran, Lopez, Jax, and Thielbar. I think Brock Stewart is working his way into that mix. I think Giovanni Moran is working his way into that mix. I think Jose De Leon could. But right now, I think they're actually not terribly bad. Having two guys to give you length, depending on how you look at De Leon and Sands. Roster Resource says De Leon is the long guy. I think Sands is a long guy and De Leon's more middle reliever. I think that's fairly decent depth with the promise of Thielbar returning hopefully soon, which probably means Sands gets sent out. And then beyond that, you're looking at, if you add somebody, you either ship out De Leon, you'd have to DFA him. You ship out Moran, who has been actually very, very good for the last few weeks. Or you DFA Pagan, who, honestly, I mean, he's been all right too. So, I mean, I kind of get it. But at the same time, too, I think there are the makings of a decent bullpen here. I'm willing to be wrong, though. Twins gatekeeper Prime Varland asks if Carlos Correa is dead. He is not. But I think plantar fasciitis is going to be something that is going to have a widely variable recovery timeline for Correa. I know we saw Shannon Stewart deal with it back in the day in left field, and he already wasn't the most mobile, capable defensive outfielder, and it hampered him. And I think, too, that season that he had, it was a fairly sizable drop in production, which we've already seen from Correa to this point. Now, the biggest thing I would worry about in this case, outside of production from Correa getting back to normal, was that Twins fans don't seem to like the idea of a variable recovery timetable. When you estimate a recovery timetable at the beginning of an injury, it's an estimate. It's just that. You really don't have a grasp on how long or short it will take. And I think that's why teams are purposely vague, purposely unclear about how long it's going to be. And that's why something that's a, you know, elbow inflammation or tendonitis turns into Tommy John surgery like that, because these things need time to manifest themselves. They need time for the swelling to go down and the imaging to have a better, more accurate reading and that sort of thing. So hopefully we'll find out more about Correa. Hopefully the news will be good here coming up soon. But for now, there's a lot we don't know. Good friend Devlin says, much like the Vikings and Wolves, we can't ever have good offense and good defense or pitching at the same time. See 2019. This year is the best Twins rotation since 2004, and we can't hit a lick. I think it's the best rotation since 06, but again, personal preference. And the 2019 team, surprisingly enough, could pitch. They were actually like top five in Fangraphs WAR across the board. They just didn't really have that standout. Then Kyle Gibson ends up dealing with some digestive tract issues. They roll short in the rotation into the playoffs. Randy Dobnak starts game two, and you know how that story ends. I think, too, something that I've noticed, and I've mentioned this on the show, too, is it seems as though they do play down to the level of competition, but they also play up to it. They've already won the season series with the Yankees. They fared fairly well against the Astros. You know, we'll see what this Astros team looks like here in the second series. I know how Jose Altuve is dealing with some more injury woes, but I'm not sure what the length of those is looking like. But then they've struggled with the Nationals. They've struggled with, you know, the other teams that have sort of floundered at the bottom of the standings in whatever division they're in. So I'm curious to see if the Twins offense can round back into form. Can they do that in conjunction with an improvement of or a continued success from the pitching staff, especially the starters. Let's talk briefly about Bird Dogs. I'm actually wearing my Bird Dogs right now. My new order just came in earlier today, if you're listening on Friday. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful product. They fit great. I had to reorder a couple pairs because of sizing. They were absolutely fabulous to work with on the customer service side. They are the most comfortable pair of shorts I've ever worn that weren't gym shorts. They basically look and feel like khaki or dress shorts or golf shorts, the kind of thing you can wear to church, you can wear to the barbecue, you can wear wherever you're going in the summer, or if you're me, in the winter too. And so yeah, that versatility really shines through. I really like how they look, how they fit. And again, comfort, versatility, you cannot beat them. And lots of people that you know or have heard of wear these. Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports, Bert Kreischer, who is, you know, one of the more well-known comedians around, and even PFT, Pro Football Commenter from Pardon My Take, is PFT Commenter, excuse me. He famously does not wear pants, and he wears Bird Dogs. So if you want to get in on this action, you just go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And when you enter promo code LockedOnMLB, you will get a Yeti-style tumbler. It kind of looks like this one that I have here with me. Fabulous, fabulous. It's custom. You get a special color, and you get one with every order if you use the code LockedOnMLB. So again, birddogs.com/LockedOnMLB. Promo code LockedOnMLB gets you a free tumbler. Now, let's go back to the grievances. Sam Huseby says, it feels like there's not a set approach with a lot of the guys at the plate. Seems like they just go up there to swing. I don't want to say I agree wholeheartedly, because I know they have, in theory, a plan, and they have meetings and all that stuff. But I won't disagree with the fact that there are times where that plan goes out the window. And it's, I feel as though there's a, you know, a 2-0 situation where there's a fringe pitch that a guy swings at rather than taking, because it's not a pitch they can drive. Trevor Larnach, for some reason, Trevor Larnach comes to mind. 2-0, fastball in on his knees, and he follows it off and then takes a ball and then swings at one and ends up getting rung up on a pitch that's outside the strike zone. And it happens. It's not unique to the Twins necessarily, but it's just bad process in a plate appearance. It's not putting together a complete plate appearance. Now, again, those can result in good things, home runs, extra base hits, walks, you name it, and all that. But I feel like the process isn't quite there for how they work counts and for what they're looking for with two strikes. And they lead all of baseball in strikeouts percentage-wise, like 29%. Which, you know, is a source of frustration. I think it'd be less of a source of frustration if the Twins were scoring runs. You know, you'll get a lot of people who will be like, hey, you know, you gotta quit striking out. Well, on the flip side, you know, if we look at offenses that are striking out or not striking out, it's, I don't think there's an exceptionally high correlation to striking out or not striking out being a good offense. The Nationals strike out 19% of the time and have a 94 weighted runs created plus. Cleveland, 19.4% of the time, 76 weighted runs created plus. Meanwhile, the top two teams in strikeouts are the Twins and Giants, both at or above 100 in weighted runs created plus. So there's not a great correlation. It just comes down to more the fact that when you're going bad, fans are going to kind of cling to what they see as a negative. And I don't blame them for that. It makes sense. It's just, it's just kind of how fans analyze things. So if they can get the strikeouts down, improve the approach and that sort of thing, we'll see where it goes from there. Our good friend Greg Masterson, who I might add is my rookie of the year for Twins Twitter. Absolutely phenomenal follow. It is a crime that he has 128 followers. Make sure you follow him at Greg T. Masterson. There's two G's at the end of Greg, just like our old friend Greg Olson from That 90s Baseball Pod. He says, His serious gripe is that the Twins aren't playing Edouard Julien anywhere off second base. And JD Cameron furthers that and says the Twins often draft and develop positionless guys, but don't experiment with their positions to increase flexibility. Now, they've experimented with it in the past with Eddie Rosario at second base, but that's not this regime. So I just want to throw that out there, but it's not really applicable in a full sense. But I think what this comes down to is twofold. First of all, the playing time at first base is probably not going to be that easy to come by this year with Gallo, with Kirilloff, with hopefully at some point Miranda, if he ever gets back to the big leagues. We'll see what happens there. But I think the Twins also realize that Julien has everything, all he can handle at second base. And so spreading him thin in an attempt to see if he can play, let's say, left field right now isn't really worth it, because where they feel like they have plate appearances right now that he can help them is second base. With that said, defensively, he has a lot to learn at second base. You know, we saw that throw thrown beyond first base into, it didn't go into the dugout. I think it kicked around by home plate there. But I think they don't want to spread him thin at other positions where he may not, one, need as much time, because first base, the process of adapting to first base would not take that long, which is why I think people want him to play there in the first place. But taking him off second for any stretch of time is something he really can't afford to do. If he's going to help this team in any form or fashion, it's probably going to have to be at second base. I don't think he has the arm for third. And I don't think it's coincidental that left field kind of comes up, because again, the arm. So as much as I think his future may not be at second base, they're trying to keep him in one spot just to not overwhelm him. Our friend Twins Fan 1991 says, Twitter doesn't allow me to write my feelings in one tweet. We love Twins Fan. His name is Jimmy. He gives us just the best reviews, the best everything. But I get the sense through messaging between him and me that this team has him completely flummoxed, bamboozled, flabbergasted, and any other four-syllable word, easy for me to say, that you can use to explain how you feel about this team. And again, you know, we talked about in the past Twins leading late in the game for like six straight games now before this last win, six or seven, I can't remember for sure. And, you know, it felt like they were playing a carbon copy where team leads by one run late, offense hasn't done enough, bullpen has a hiccup, which bullpens should be allowed to do. You can't expect everybody to be Juan Duran every single day, even Jorge Lopez. Those hiccups happen, and the Twins' offense late in games has been wretched again, as we mentioned earlier. And what that comes down to is a 3-2 lead becomes a 4-3, 5-3 loss, or a 5-4 loss if they scratch across a run in the ninth, which, again, has been rare. So hopefully Twins Fan 1991 has some good things coming down the pipe Twins-wise, because, yeah, I think it's fair to say that he's frustrated, and it's fair to have been frustrated. Let's take a second and talk about Rocket Money. If you're like me, you have subscribed to things and then forgotten about them, either a free subscription that becomes a paid subscription, or you just have every single streaming service under the sun, television-wise, and you can't watch all of them. If you need help canceling those, Rocket Money will help you. They will basically find any subscriptions that you have, and with a click of a button, you can cancel them. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels all of your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending besides, which at least in my case can be scary, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Just one app does everything that you need it to do. Again, it's going to save you money, plain and simple. So stop throwing your money away. You can cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. Get this, over 3 million people have used Rocket Money and are saving an average, this is an average, of $720 a year. Think of how much you could do with $720 a year. That's more than 50 bucks a month. That's a tank of gas for a lot of cars. You know, you take that extra trip this year in the summer. It's nice out. It's Memorial Day weekend coming up here. You know, it gives you a lot of different options. So again, $720 a year on average. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. We're coming down the final stretch here. Memorial Day weekend, Twins and Blue Jays, Target Field Friday, 7:10 p.m. You got Louis Varland versus Kevin Gausman, and you can hang out with Danny and Corey and catch every pitch of the Twins hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. It's as simple as searching Twins. On my wife's car, all you do is you search MLB, and then you find each team's individual broadcast. Absolutely fabulous product. So yeah, check that out. If you're an everydayer, thank you for making us your first listen every day. And check back over the weekend. We'll try to have a few little nuggets for you before we come back on Memorial Day Monday to wrap up the series and get you prepared for the series to come. Got a couple interesting ones coming up. They're going to be in Houston for three and then back home for Cleveland with four. It's going to be Louis Varland and Gausman, Pablo Lopez and Chris Bassett, Bailey Ober and Jose Berríos, old friend there before Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan and Varland pitch in Houston. So going to face about the best Toronto has to offer. So it'll be a good litmus test. That's a team that has really, really struggled of late. But as Twins fans fear, this could be an opportunity for them to get right. Anyway, back to your gripes before we let you go here. Name cannot be blank. Random name generator says, the hitting late in games is a gripe. Once they are down three runs, it feels like it's over. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, when teams are down three late, basically the game is over. But we did note that the Twins hitting ninth inning and later was like 26th, 27th in OPS, which, again, the number itself, whether it's 665, 67, 60, whatever the OPS is, if that doesn't paint a picture, the ranking should. It's kind of like an OPS against a fastball. You don't necessarily know what average is. It might be 750, might be 800. But where the team ranks out of the 30 teams is a lot more instructive. I think of catcher framing that way. I think of a lot of things that way because it's always good to know where you rank among your contemporaries. So Twins way near the bottom in ninth inning and later, that's going to explain some of the extra innings woes they've had. Some of those games that either they look like they're about to finish off and don't, or the ones that they really have to scrape and claw to get through. So yeah, the hitting late in games has been poor, and but once they're down, that, you know, that's more of a standard thing. Mike asks, have we overvalued the players? Fans and media types are flummoxed at the underperforming lineup, but are they underperforming? If we ignore Correa, Vegas had this team as pretty much on this pace, and Vegas always knows. So a lot of Vegas places had them about 500, 82 and 80, 83 and 79, that sort of thing. And they're about on that pace. So have we overvalued the players? I hesitate to agree with that just because I think, you know, it's probably more fair than I'm giving it credit for, because for every player who is not achieved, a guy like Joey Gallo has been very good. Alex Kirilloff has been very good. Kyle Farmer has been better than expected. I think Willy Castro has made some things happen. So do those guys outweigh the Christian Vasquez's, the Michael A. Taylor's, the Carlos Correa's who've struggled? It's probably a horse apiece in terms of guys who are underperforming and overperforming. Also, too, Ryan Jeffers has an OBP of like 395. When I saw that, I was like, I'm surprised that actually is the case because I had not in any way, shape, or form imagined that. But the Twins offense just comes up so empty in big spots that I think it kind of overwhelms our senses for how bad this offense truly is. And it's not a great offense. 100 weighted runs created plus, though. It's average. It's an average offense with guys under and overperforming. Situational stuff has not been good. But in general, they are 15th in weighted runs created plus. So, you know, an average offense, there are a lot of times where it feels a lot worse than that. And I get that, and I agree with that. But at the same time, sometimes the picture isn't painted by the average either. You know, if you have 10 runs and 0 runs, 10 runs and 0 runs in a 4-game set, math will tell you you averaged 5 runs a game, but you never actually scored 5 runs in any game. So the average doesn't tell you what you actually did. It just gives you an idea of what you could expect on a given day. So I'm as frustrated with the offense as everybody else. And I think there's some guys who very clearly have underperformed, Correa, Jose Miranda. But at the same time, I don't know, maybe we have overrated these guys just a little bit. Darth Yoda says, stop putting hitters in bad situations like the hitters in 1, 2, 3 positions who are slumping. I mean, I get that because I've mentioned a couple times the Twins have the worst batting average for hitters 1 through 3 so far this season. But until Alex Kirilloff came back, it wasn't like they were going to take Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton out of that top 3 spot. Leadoff has been a bit of a black hole. Joey Gallo has shown some power there. But batting average, again, going to struggle wherever he's at in the lineup. But, you know, you're not moving Kyle Farmer up there, Willie Castro, Christian Vasquez. If Ryan Jeffers is playing, he's not hitting up there. Donovan Solano has a bit against lefties, but he hasn't really produced, I think, like many of us had expected. So as much as I agree with the idea that they have not performed, outside of Alex Kirilloff and maybe like if Edouard Julien gets going, until they're healthy and you get guys back like Jorge Polanco, Royce Lewis, Max Kepler, Trevor Larnach, it's really hard to see a way that they're going to shake up this lineup so much, even if it does make sense in theory. I'll leave you with this one. Aaron Weiland says, this team has a capacity to be very, very good, like top 5, maybe top 3 in MLB good. If they could just string together an extended run of the starters, relievers, and bats, all playing near the top of their potential. So far, only one of these groups has been doing that. I think that's a great point by Aaron, because when you look at the personnel and the skill of this personnel on this team, to me, the rest of the division can't compete. And I don't want to sound like a homer. I don't want to sound like I'm too excited about this collection of talent. But if every single team in the division is healthy at the same time, again, a hypothetical that will never, ever happen, but for the basis of comparison, the Twins have the most talent, and it's not particularly close. And even if you look at teams getting healthy relative to where they're at now, like you can't expect Tyler Mahle healthy, Chris Paddock healthy right now for a comparison. I think with what the teams have at their disposal, the Twins are still the most talented team in the division. I'm way out on Kansas City. I'm really not interested in Detroit. Last I checked, they had almost a 6 ERA from starters not named Eduardo Rodriguez. I just think they're kind of riding a wave right now, which good for them, but I just don't see it continuing. The White Sox have been pretty good of late, but are still 10 games under 500. So I'm not really buying them either. Top 5, top 3 in MLB might be a little bit of a stretch just because, you know, the AL East has been very good. But at the same time, there's nobody in this league that terrifies me. You know, they can hang with the Yankees. They can hang with the Astros. The Rays bullpen, believe it or not, has a negative Fangraphs war. So it's wild season out there as far as what teams are capable of. The one team I think I would fear ultimately is the Dodgers, but they're basically just the West Coast Yankees, and it feels like the Twins kind of shrink in games against them. And they wouldn't face them till the World Series anyway. So, I think this team can be really good if everything comes together. And maybe you win, you know, you pull a, what was it, Cardinals in 06, where you win 83 games and then you win the World Series. Like, how disorienting would that have to be if the Twins won 83 games and then somehow that was the team that broke through and won not only a playoff series, but their first World Series in over 30 years. Again, thank you for making the Locked On Twins your first listen every day. If you're an everydayer, hang out with us over the weekend. We'll get you some new content as you prepare for Memorial Day. It's Varland Gausman in Friday night's game. Other than that, make sure you check out Locked On Twins at @Brandon_Warren on Twitter. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. Hang out in the comments section and send me questions for the 7th inning stretch. Otherwise, this is Brandon Warren signing off, saying thank you so much. Don't forget to stop by Monday. Have a freaking Memorial Day weekend.